Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Cookie Cast. Today on Cookie Cast, it's the darkest timeline. So, not a lot to talk about this week. Which is weird when the podcast then ended up being nearly an hour. Who could have seen that coming? I don't know. Maybe everybody. Some climbing stuff. Yeah, I know. It's the thing at the moment. Bear with me. Stress and how that affects things. TV, movies, computer games, all of that's here. So, you know, if you're here for the entertainment stuff, you're in luck. Before we get started, please consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And obviously the big one, the big one there is share the podcast around. If you, if you know someone who likes podcasts, maybe they'll like this one. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is Cookie Cast, the darkest timeline. Hello. Tried to do my spookiest of voices there. Not because it's Halloween, because it's certainly not October. But, you know, there's a new Ghostbusters trailer, so the entire world's going to lose its freaking mind. How's it going? How you doing? You well? Honestly, at this point in time, I just hope you're doing better than me. I have almost nothing to talk about. I had to crowbar something in earlier today because I looked at my list. I was like, that is nothing. On the flip side, although I've got very little to talk about from the week, I feel more of an entertainment-based podcast for you. I'm going to drink some of this lovely Guinness. I am wondering at which point in time I just call it the climbing podcast. Because that's all I've really got to talk about today. I've had some sort of like strange breakthrough, which I feel is very much a contrast to where I was literally, 2 weeks ago, where I was like, I'm giving up climbing. So I've found like a, part of me want to say like a niche area. So I found that I actually enjoy climbing overhanging stuff. So like stuff where essentially you have to like hang upside down to a degree. I get enjoyment from that. And I think I've said already, you know, there is this aspect of... I have to admit, I imagine that not many people are going to be picturing me doing that or being able to do that. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's probably a big part of it is maybe that. But recently I have found like a level of excitement at going to climb. So yeah, it's cool, you know, I get there and it's like, oh, I'm going to try this. No, I'm going to try that. No, I'm going to hang upside down from this thing. And, oh, I'm going to try and get round the corner on that. And I tried some new stuff, some of the new stuff on Saturday, which is unusual. Not necessarily like me, but sometimes you got to try these things. And every now and then I do. Something's reflecting light. Every time I move my head, something's reflecting light. which is quite off-putting. The other thing being is that it's never been a thing before, so weird. Oh, I know why. I have caused that because I've moved something on the mantelpiece. There we go. A bit of interior design for you. So the other thing, that was it. That's all I had to talk about. The other thing I had to talk about I'm super mega uber stressed out at the moment. And there are all these decisions that need making. It's one of those, like, you trying to narrow down, like, the best possible thing to do for everybody involved. And I'm trying to narrow those things down. But what I've noticed recently is it's having an effect on my... Part of me wants to say attention span, but it's not. I don't think that's it. Because if I think attention span is viewed negatively, because I think it probably is. If you've got a short attention span, that's probably quite a negative thing. So that's not it. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is it's almost like it's like a bullshit detector. And that's not it either. Let me explain what I mean. I just don't feel like I have time for anything. And that's not like, I'm running out of time today. Or I just mean like, because I'm stressed and I'm using all of my sort of mental capability to keep the ship right, I don't have any time, effort or energy for much else. So I'll be doing things and all of a sudden I'll be like, is this productive? Is this getting me anywhere? Is this what I should be doing with my time right now? Is this wasted energy? And all that sort of stuff. And 95% of the time, I'm finding that the answer is no. And then what I'm then finding is, if I've asked the question and the answer is no, I am immediately stopping doing it. Which, in some ways, is kind of interesting, you know. We all enjoy our phones. We all enjoy our social media. We all enjoy our things that we shouldn't be doing, our time-wasting devices. This sort of the way I'm feeling, it just shuts all of that down. Should I be looking at this? Should I be doing that? Should I be watching this cat video? If the answer is no, I just stop. What it does mean is I've increased like my reading. It's like, oh well, you know, if I shouldn't be doing this, what should I be doing with my time? And if it's some element of downtime, then I just start reading. Started a new book. So this is the thing, you see. I started a new book a few days ago and I'm 10% into it. Which I started reading a book before Christmas and it took me until last week to finish it. For a variety of different reasons. I'm a slow reader. I don't get a lot of opportunity to read. I might get at some point like a couple of pages a day. Which if you're looking at a book that's like 400 pages, it'll take you a while. However, jump to the book I'm reading now. Again, 400 page book. I think I'm 50 pages into it. And I started it 2 or 3 days ago, sort of thing. There is another reason. The other reason is that I picked the book I'm reading now over another book. They were both gifts. And there is a part of me that thinks that I should have read the book that I chose not to read first. So I'm a bit like, I need to get this book read so I can get to the other one and tick them both off my reading list. So there's that. But yes, I'm very stressed out at the moment. And I find that I'm doing a lot of stuff to try and distract from that. But at the same time, like I say, I've got this whole thing where I'm like, is this productive? And if it's not, then I stop doing it. Oh, my days. That's that. I'm not going to drag this out. I knew the podcast was short this week. Bill me if you want to bill me for the rest. It is what it is. Let's move on. TV. I've got a multitude of TV. I've got some films and some games. And a little side note about games. Don't let me forget. In fact, I'm not going to allow... I'm not going to allow myself to forget, so I'm going to put it in this list here. Right, there. Just making a little adjustment to the list. Some of the stuff might not be for everybody, but then again, some of the stuff I talk about on a weekly basis might not be for everyone. But then why would you be here listening? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I've watched episodes 1 to 4 of series 2 of Invincible. Obviously it's animated, so it might not be for everyone, so jump ahead. As we probably know, if you've listened for a while, I was a huge fan of the first series of Invincible. I have seen it end to end, back to back, the whole way through. I'm going to say 4 times at least. Now, it's one of those things. We know that we've implemented a new rule recently, which is if Jason Mantzoukas is involved, it's fantastic straight off the bat. Why do I bring this up? Because Jason Mantzoukas does a voice in Invincible. So it's already 10% better. And by 10%, I mean 110%. I watched the first series and I absolutely, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was very good, very enjoyable. I was aware of the comic originally, but that was probably about it. I was just like, this is cool, this is great, this is great. I am very much aware, 2 things. One, there's been massive uproar about the length of time it's taken to do the second series. And they tried to placate people with these like, oh, here's an hour-long episode about this character while you wait for the new series. So they've had a lot of issues. They did this sort of like long trailer with the main character and Seth Rogen's character having a conversation. But ultimately... It took a while to get the second series out. Number 2, I hate episodic things. I hate ongoing series and every incarnation you can imagine of that. I ultimately don't have the patience for it. That's what it comes down to. And in this day and age, I am well catered for. You know, when a new series is released on Netflix, you get the series. You can watch it at your leisure. And that's that. But, not to spoil anything, but when you're talking about stuff like Reacher, which I'm going to come on to, Amazon Prime seemed to do the weekly episodic thing. I more often than not find myself leaving something for a few weeks and then starting it so that I know I've got a better chance of not having to wait week in, week out. I think the one that I watched almost weekly was the old man, and potentially before that, I watched The Mandalorian weekly, only the first two series. I couldn't be bothered with it after that. So, I don't do well with episodic things, and I don't do good with series. I like a hidden gem that the entire 6 to 10 series have already been released, and you can watch them all. That's me, in a nutshell. And a lot of the stuff I've watched as series have very much been like that. Yeah, anyway, that is me. So, when I've watched a series that's been great, but then I have to wait a long time, I then go, I don't care anymore. Because it's the only way I can deal with it. I have to say, I don't care anymore. Unfortunately, what that means from a long-running perspective is I don't care anymore. So, Series 2 came along, and like I say, we had these couple of episodes, and I watched those episodes, the in-betweeny things, and I was like, yeah, it's fine, but it's not what we want. Series 2 came along, and I went, cool, I'll get around to watching that at some point. And there was, I think there was like 3 episodes released at the start, and then weekly episodes. And then I think there's a break, and then I think they're going to release the other half of the series. So, that was that. And then I found that I didn't watch it. Through time or whatever, I just didn't watch it. I just didn't put it on. And that was kind of that. And I reached a point where I kept saying, oh, yeah, I've got Invincible Series 2 to watch. I've got it to watch. So I was like, right, I think I need to make a concerted effort to make that my my TV watching. And that's what I did. So I've watched the first 4 episodes. Now then, how do I feel about the first 4 episodes of the new series? Not great. It feels very much like a series that was rushed. It feels very much like a series where they probably had multiple teams working on it. And those multiple teams had, like, your job is to work on this character and their story. Your job is to work on these two characters and their story. Your job is to work on this character and this storyline. And those teams set about doing that, and they did their bit. And basically, the overarching production of this series, cartoon, however you want to put it, then taped those bits together, stuck those bits together. So what you then end up with is there's a point in one of the episodes, this is partial spoilers, I'm not sure if that matters to anybody. You end up with a point in an episode where it's like, oh, these two people are doing this. While that's going on, let's check in with another character. And that character basically then gets their own, like, mini episode inside an episode. And they're not the main character, or one of the main characters. They are very much a sub-level character. And you're there going, why? Why are we doing this? And you get this very interesting story, and Optimus Prime turned up. Not the robot, the voice actor. And it was all like, this is fine, this is cool, this is groovy. Not really why we're here, though. This isn't what we turned up for. Something that is strange to me is the episodes are the best part of an hour. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that's like, that's too long. But it's animated. And to me, animation's sweet spot is 25 minutes. And because they're not 25-minute, half-hour episodes, you end up in this situation where you're watching it and you're like, I tell you something, this episode's been going on a while. How long's left? Oh, wow, it's not even halfway through. That's interesting. It's that. It's not a lack of enjoyment. It's not like, oh, I'm bored. It's not like I'm not having a fun time watching this episode. It's, wow, it's just long. So I watched three and probably three quarter episodes, and I was like, I don't feel this is delivering quite what the first series delivered. I don't think this is maybe what they probably wanted to deliver. This feels very much like, oh, all the fans are crying out for the new series and they're banging on the front door. What can we give them right now to placate them? I would far rather you took a little bit longer and gave a better product than just rush something out. Cough, cough, Ubisoft. Cough, cough, Bethesda. Cough, cough, most game companies. So, now why, you ask, did I say I watched 3 3/4 episodes and was like, is this really why we're here? Because the last quarter of the fourth episode, I was literally like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. There was this big fight, big bloodbath kind of fight that Invincible's known for, and there was like a real sort of wow, you know, all that sort of stuff. One of my biggest issues with it as a show is I feel it's sort of mission statement is we've got this superhero who is super strong, super fast, can fly, has the ability to do X number of things, but is also part human. And the human part of them is vulnerable. And someone heard the word vulnerable and went, oh, so they get beaten up all the time. Because as a superhero, the main character has all these abilities. Fly, strong, fast, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't seem to be a great superhero because just basically spends his entire time getting his ass kicked. Strapping for a deep cut here, but he is essentially the John Jones of this universe. I don't mean the UFC fighter. I mean the Martian Manhunter. Sorry, I just realised that was real confusing if you didn't know. The end of the fourth episode made me want to watch more. The end of the fourth episode made me go, ooh, that's interesting. And the end of the fourth episode, I was like, yes, finally. It's only taken three episodes to get here. The chopping and the changing and this character's doing this and that character's doing that and the other character's doing the other and, oh, Mark Hamill's in it. We've got to get him in somewhere. And, oh, surprise, surprise, Clancy Brown's turned up. Because if Clancy Brown isn't doing a voice in something animated, really, what is he doing with his days? And it's kind of a bit like that. Obviously now I'm like, cool, hopefully we've righted the ship. I don't think that's how that's supposed to be said. I will see. I'm more excited to watch more of it, let's say that. As I mentioned, I watched another episode of Series 2 of Reacher. I watched episode 5 of series 2. Weirdly, Reacher is a little bit like Invincible in the sense that there's a few things about this. One, I feel like there are a lot of words in Series 2 of Reacher. And I only understand 1% of what's being said. However, that 1% is the story. Because at no point am I not understanding what's going on. And it's so confusing. It's a bit like, oh, here's the story, and now we're going to put 200 words on top of it for every second. It's so weird. These characters just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk at each other, with each other, from each other. Non-stop talking, but only, like I say, 1% of what they're saying is story-based, and that's the only bit we really need. It's got a very distinct Season 2 feel to it. I honestly think that the second series of any what has the possibility of being long-running TV series is the worst. It's the worst one. Reason being is because sometimes a show or a series or whatever, a company, don't expect anything outside that first season. So they're like, here's the story we want to tell. Here it is. It could be one season. And then the people who are buying it are like, could you do more? Like, well, you know, let's see how it goes. And then it does well. So they're like, we want more. And that group of people who made that show went, crap. Because they just wanted to get that show sold, and then it becomes wildly successful, and then like now we need to do a second series. And the second series is always the one that suffers. Because Series 3 onwards, you've found your feet. You know where you're aiming for, you know what you're going for, and you're away, steady away. But Series 2 is so higgledy-piggledy. So, Reacher Series 2, Episode 5, another one. It was fine. One thing I will say is this. Around Christmas, I'd seen this video. I don't know if I've already mentioned this. Saw a video where somebody was talking about Reacher and saying, like, oh, the premise of Reacher is that he's just really big. And I can't get away from it. Because that is the entire premise of the entire thing. Reacher, he's just a big guy. And every single thing plays off it. Everything. I can't stress enough how it's everything. Everything. And after a while, it gets a bit like, phew. Yeah, we get it. He's big. So there. That's TV. That's the TV bit covered. Movie-wise, two movies, both of them new. Can you believe it? And I started a film today that's also a new one. The first one is a film called Changeland. Now then, Changeland is a film that falls into a particular category for me. That category is, I saw a trailer for it a while ago and I went, that looks good. Obviously not good enough to go to the cinema to see it, and not good enough to pay money for it. On streaming or whatever, good enough to watch for free on a streaming service. And that was the end of that until recently when it popped up again as a film. It was like, oh, you know, there's that film. And I was like, ah, I'll do a search because I might buy it. I might rent it. It sounds really good. It looks really good. And it looks like an enjoyable film. And when I looked it up, it was available on Prime for free. So I was like, boom, add it to the watch list. There we go. Next time I was on the treadmill and needed something to watch, I put it on. So Changeland is written, directed and starring Seth Green. There is another guy in it. I kind of meant to look him up. In fact, I know it's not podcast PC, but really quickly... IMDb change. Changeland. Changeland 2019, full cast and crew. Brecken Mayer. It's one of them. The name, or you know, that name rings a bell, doesn't it? Should we just? Can you hear my dog snoring? It's hilarious. Can we just go into? It's my dog's birthday today. Brecken Mayer. What is the thing? Yeah, he was in a lot of those late 90s, early 2000 teen comedy, Road Trip, Clueless, Rat Race. Yeah, would appear to be very much a friend of Seth Green, I think is the thing there. Right, there we go. Get rid of that. Make that small. So, other notable famous people in the film are wrestler Randy Orton, which was part of the reason why it popped up on my radar, and Macaulay Culkin. Yes, that Macaulay Culkin. So, in itself, it's obviously got something, because we managed to get Macaulay Culkin on the screen again. Shortest version is this. The way The Hangover is a love letter to Las Vegas, Changeland is a love letter to Thailand. Some of the most beautiful shots, some of the way it's shot, some of the scenery, some of the things that they've managed to put in the film, and it's very much it feels like somebody went to Thailand, went, my God, this place is amazing and the world needs to know that, and then decided to make a film to be able to show the beauty of this place. No real spoilers here, but the story is, a guy realizes that his wife is cheating on him. He has booked for them to go on a romantic vacation for their anniversary. And instead of taking his wife, who is cheating on him, he arranges for his friend, alleged best friend, to go with him instead. They go off. He relays his story about the fact his wife's cheating on him. And it goes from there. They go off. They have this great time in Thailand. Eventually, they bump into Macaulay Culkin. And a little bit later, they bump into Randall Keith Orton. That's basically it. It's a story about a guy who's kind of discovering himself whilst also discovering a new chapter in his life, because ultimately his wife's cheating on him. I will say this, almost immediately I was like, I've worked out the twist. I know the twist. I can tell you the twist right now. I don't need to watch the rest of this film to find out what the twist is, because I know the twist. 90 minutes later I went, oh, there was no twist. So, that was strange from the perspective of spending 90 minutes, three separate treadmill sessions, expecting a twist, knowing a twist. I've already worked out, I don't need you to tell me, to then get to the end and there was nothing. And I went, oh, now that just seems weird. One of those. Very enjoyable film, really nice film, beautiful film in so many different ways. Just a really tight 90-minute movie. When was the last time you could say that? It was, yeah, not the best film ever made. I will say this. Didn't have a subtitle option, and I was watching on the treadmill, so there were aspects that I didn't hear, but you kind of got the gist of it. I'm not going to spoil anything, or at least I'm going to hope I'm not going to spoil anything. Hope that what I've said doesn't spoil anything. Good little movie. From good little movies to Fast X. Fast X is the movie version of what I think they've done with the second season of Invincible. Fast X is a lot of tiny little snippets of a movie sandwiched together. And a massive number of those snippets don't make any sense and have no relevance to the story. There was a point where Leanne said to me, "What is the story of this film?" This was while we were watching it, and my answer was, "I have absolutely no idea what's happening." The Fast and the Furious franchise straddle the line between "it's so bad it's good" and "oh, it's just entertaining." And it might be entertaining schlock, but it's just entertaining. Fast X has now transposed into the realms of "no, it's just bad," and "no, it's not really all that entertaining anymore." And that is obviously unfortunate. We're 10 films in. I will say, we were 10 films in. Did we need the 9 film recap a third of the way into the movie? There's a thing. I want to do a spoiler. I don't know if I can do a spoiler. I want to do a spoiler so bad. Because the thing that is probably the big spoiler in the whole film is so bad. Okay? And what the other thing about it is it's so bad and it makes no sense. It has no relevance. It is just like, "Hey, here's a crowbar. Get that in the film." "Don't you worry, pal. Well, I'll take care of it." There was the point where I worked out that the film was essentially Marvel versus DC. Because I'm like, "Hey, look, there's Groot and Captain Marvel. And there's Aquaman. And Aquaman. There's mention of Kurt Russell, so you know, Star-Lord's dad." And it was just bang, 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 bang. John Cena's in it, so you know, Peacemaker. It's yeah, you know, like, they've got a job to do. I don't mean the characters in the film, I mean the films themselves. They have a job to do. That job is to be entertaining, whether it's good or bad. Unfortunately, I think we have now passed over to "no, it's bad." You've got Jason Momoa. I knew Jason Momoa was going to be this big, large, over-the-top character. He is super flamboyant. It's all nail varnish and rings and fanciful outfits and all of that. Some of that stuff you would sort of kind of put with Jason Momoa anyway. Some of his outfits, you're like, did you just come to work one day in your clothes? And they went, perfect. Other stuff, it's like, there's an actual car race at one point. And you're like, "Ah, yeah, a car race." And Jason Momoa rocks up and you're like, oh, okay. So I kind of knew that he was going to be big, over the top, flamboyant. Early on, Liam was like, I don't think I can watch this. Him in this, he's just too much. And I was like, yeah, I was kind of prepared for this. I knew this was coming. Even towards the back end was like, yeah, I find it just a bit too much. It's just too over the top. Something else, and I didn't want to spoil it for Leanne, but I knew something. Because obviously there was a point in time where Fast X was going to be the last one. And then they announced that, no, it's not the last one. It's the first of a three-parter. And I believed that even though they had agreed that they were going to do, not in fact 10 films, going to do 12 films, I believed that they would just do a standalone movie and then move on and do another one and then do another one, and those three would connect. No, they're doing three films that presumably link together, because this one didn't end. Ended on a cliffhanger. And it was like, oh, let's not do that. Just disappointing. Just disappointing, I'm afraid. And that's kind of that, really. I'd seen a review of it at one point that gave it 5 out of 10. And I was like, wow, that's pretty harsh going. Having watched it, I'm like, it's absolutely a 5 out of 10 film. Whereas the others, you're kind of going to get a solid 7 out of 10. We have now dropped into the realms of 5 out of 10. I was under the impression at one point that it had been considered a flop, and then I looked it up and it made $710 million. I was like, not a flop then. Before I get into the games that I've been playing, me and my youngest daughter ended up playing some computer games yesterday. Played a little bit of Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I was at a bit of a loose end, and I started climbing the walls a little bit. I like a plan for a weekend. I like a, this is what's happening, and this is where we're going, and this is what we're doing. And I'd managed to plan all of that and do all that up till about 2-3 o'clock on Sunday. So next thing, 2-3 o'clock on Sunday, and we're all rattling around the house, and I'm like, ah, these are the times that I really don't like. So I was like, I'm going to put PlayStation on. And I was like, what is there to play? So I put Ghost Recon Breakpoint on, and then me and my daughter were kind of like playing, taking it in turns, although I was doing a bit of the controlling while she was still holding the controller and stuff. And it was a really enjoyable time. I really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, you know, we should do more stuff like this. The reason I bring it up is that is the first time I've sat and played any form of console game in weeks. I mean, it was however many weeks ago it was that I put Baldur's Gate 3 on and played for 90 minutes, and then, yeah. So, let's talk about the games that I have been playing, and that's obviously in the VR space. I've been playing Into the Radius. I don't know where I was up to last time, so I'll just give a brief recap. A game that I started, and I was like, this game is too intelligent for me. I played a little bit, and I was like, I don't get it. I don't know what it wants from me. So I left it a little while, and then there was this weird part of me, this like bit that was like nagging at me, that was like, no, there's definitely something there for you in that game, so you need to go back to it. And I was like, but I can't, I don't know how to do it. I've got a fantastic idea. I'm going to look up a little bit of a walkthrough kind of video to just get me through the beginning, just get me into it. once I get my teeth in, then I'll be all right. And that's exactly what I did. I found a series of videos on YouTube. I watched the first couple. I got a real feel for the game. And then I went back to it. Now, if I've told you that already, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to bring us up to date. So, got my teeth into it. I've managed to unlock the first three security levels, and with each security level you unlock like different tiers of like weaponry and ammo and equipment and stuff. So, and I think there's only, part of me wants to say five, part of me wants to say six levels of security. So if I'm on three, I'm halfway through. I've been splashing a bit of cash around. I've bought a couple of new guns. I treated myself at one point. I was like, it's expensive, but I think it's going to be a game changer. And I bought an actual, like a pump action shotgun, rather than having the two barreled. I had two lots of two barreled shotguns, which obviously once you fired it twice, it's going to take you longer to reload than to fire again. And when you've got something coming straight at you, it's time lost is muffin lost. So I really wanted the pump action shotgun. I had the money for it, so I was like, do you know what, I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going to get it, which I did. Then I paid for an upgrade so that I could store more ammo in it, and that was a game changer. The other weapon I really wanted was the Beretta M9, one of my favourite guns, going all the way back to like A Better Tomorrow and stuff like that, John Woo films. So again, had the money, decided to do the like upgrade my weapon to the Beretta, got a silencer, got a sight for it, got a red dot, but couldn't work out how to turn the red dot on, had to Google it in the end. Something that I'll do the next time I play. Everything's been going real well. I've been doing missions. I've been getting the artifacts. I've had a tide or a wave. I can't remember. A rift where things change. So the area in changes. But it also renews like boxes that have got like weapons and like equipment in and stuff. So that's been interesting to sort of see what the changes it's made to the world. Been doing missions, been leveling up, like security leveling up, doing all of that stuff. Last night I put myself in a really bad situation where I've gone to a new area and the enemies are different. So now we've got enemies who like shoot machine guns and armoured enemies, and it's telling me that I need to go to a factory and do a thing in a factory. What? I don't know. And how? I have absolutely no idea. There is also an enemy in the area that seems to be some kind of invisible giant. Last night I got stomped to death. He actually said that. You died by Stomper. I'm like, I mean, that doesn't sound terrifying at all. What I do know is you can't shoot it. I'm not going to lie, it's a game that I honestly didn't know if I was ever going to really get into it when I first played it, because I thought it was too smart for me, because I'm not the smartest man in the world. However, now I touch wood, I do feel like I need to touch wood. I am very much enjoying it. It's one of those games that I want to talk to people about. I keep going up to people and being like, I'm playing this game at the moment, it's called Into the Radius. It's on the VR, it's very enjoyable. And I tell people, people, I'm like, hey, look this game up, tell me what you think, sort of thing. I've had a couple of conversations today with people, I was like, this is the game I'm playing, it's interesting. And that's kind of what I'd say to people. I was like, it's real interesting. I don't like survival games because, as I said to Ed today, I was like, the thing about survival games to me is you need four pieces of wood to build a shelter. You have three. and there is absolutely no way to find any more wood. And breathing consumes wood. That is every survival game I've ever played. You're always on the back foot. You're never going to get the equipment you need. You're never going to get ahead in life. You are always going to be looking for stuff that there isn't enough of. Into the Radius removes all of that by paying you to do missions and then giving you a shop where you can buy everything in the game as it unlocks. So there we go. I bought and have played another game. I bought a game called Zero Calibre. Secretly, between you and me, I actually already own this game. It's a really long story. I already own it. I own it on the PC for PC VR. However, I'm having trouble getting my PC VR back up and running. So it just sits there completely unplayed. And I'm like, now what? More recently, it's become more and more of a game where I'm like, I really want to give that a go. So I paid £19 for it and just basically got it for the quest. What that means is I can play it, and I have played it, and it's a little bit, it's not as good as I was hoping in some areas. Number one, the graphics are not great. Like, you've got that whole, there's like three different types of enemies and they just recycle them. So you're a bit like, ooh, that's original. And those enemies don't look great graphically. Number two, and this has got to be just the best. Obviously, it is a game that is very heavily based in shooting. You shoot pistols, you shoot shotguns, you shoot machine guns. It's a military-based game, so you've got like all these military-based weapons. The shooting is terrible. You can't aim, you can't line your sights up and shoot anyone or anything. All the shots go wide. It's baffling, to say the least. On the flip side, it's quite fun and it's quite enjoyable. Like I said, it's a military shooter, so you're going from place to place, base to base, shooty, 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 bang, 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 picking up different weapons as you see fit. Every now and then I like to grab a shotgun off a dead guy, and away we go. So, although it's not brilliant in graphics or the shooting, which not the worst game I've ever played. Definitely one I'll go back to. I played a bit of it the other night as a kind of like soft break from Into the Radius. However, I then went back to Into the Radius and I haven't been back to Zero Calibre since. But I will. I am saying that now. There we go. That is it for the week. Weirdly, still ended up being a long podcast. Who could have possibly foreseen that? Yeah. Right, that's it. I'll catch you next time. So there we go. What do you think to that? Another one done. Another one gone. How do I manage to make a small number of things turn into an hour? Who knows? Before you leave, please do consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And check out the website, thecookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and an email button, and that way you can get in touch with us. That is it for this one. Till next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
This has been another episode of CookieCast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share and subscribe.